Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
As I'm sure some of you will already know, I come from a church that likes its traditions. It's a church that likes its candles, its fine robes, correct bowing at various points in the service, and processing in and out. And for a long time, I wondered if I would ever be able to worship without some of these slightly strange traditions. In fact, I admit, when I first came here to Bedhampton, the first service I attended felt somewhat empty. My first service at St. Nicholas Church was even stranger. The first thing I noticed was that Max, our wonderful rector, wasn't wearing any robes, but just a clerical colour. I looked around and thought, well, where's the organ? Where's the choir stalls? What on earth is going on? I perceived two things at my first service here that were far more important than any of those traditions that I felt were missing. First, this church was full of warm and welcoming people gathering together to worship God. And the second thing I discovered is I didn't actually need any of those traditions that I had got used to. In fact, it was such an uplifting service that I couldn't wait for the following Sunday. We mustn't miss, however, that we have traditions here. They're different from my old parish. The way in which we sing, we pray, and we preach is a tradition. The way we dress, the way we position our pews, where we gather around the Lord's table and share peace, are all traditions. Different from my old parish, more contemporary in style, certainly, but still traditions. In our gospel reading this morning, Jesus tackles some of those notions of traditions, particularly the Sabbath tradition. To fully understand this story, I think we must first gain some sense of meaning of the Sabbath in first century Jewish life. The Sabbath was commanded by God as part of the Ten Commandments and observed and blessed by God at the very beginning of creation. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 to 3, we read, "By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy." The Sabbath had served for centuries as a distinctive mark of the people of God and presented a constant testimony to their faith in the one true God. Many faithful Israelites would have died rather than to break God's law by disrespecting the Sabbath. It was a joyous day of eating and drinking, a day of rest from labour, and not just for the rich. The Sabbath had an element of social justice to it, where slaves and servants also received a much-needed rest. It was central to Jewish life, and proper observance was necessary. The Pharisees had established 39 actions that were forbidden on the Sabbath. In our gospel reading this morning, we hear two accounts of Jesus breaking those laws in the eyes of the Pharisees, by harvesting and healing, both of which were on the forbidden list. So while walking through the grain field with his disciples, Jesus allows his disciples to pick and eat the heads of corn. According to the religious leaders, this is technically harvesting. However, the disciples weren't picking the grain because they wanted to gain profit, but because they were hungry. They were not actually working on the Sabbath. The Pharisees, however, could not overlook these laws on a technicality, and they chastised Jesus for allowing his disciples to do so. But Jesus does something very clever here. He recalls the story of David that we heard just a few moments ago. "Haven't you heard what David did?" So what did David do? The fugitive David fed his men when they were hungry with the holy bread, which was only lawful for the priests to eat, according to the law of Moses. But notice that God did not punish David. because his need for food was more important than the priestly regulations. So effectively, Jesus was saying, if you condemn me, you also condemn David, something the religious leaders could never do without causing an uproar among the people. And the fact that the disciples were hungry should not be taken lightly. These disciples had sacrificed everything to follow Christ and were genuinely poor and genuinely hungry. But the Pharisees are so concerned for God's honour in correctly observing the Sabbath. They also believed that the Messiah would only come when all the people observed all the laws on a single day. Their problem was that they neglected the actual will of God for the Sabbath commandment, which is mercy towards the poor and hungry. In a further illustration, Jesus reminds the Pharisees how priests in the temple were permitted to desecrate the day of the Sabbath when they offered sacrifices and conducted services. The law allowed this because God's command for the temple must be obeyed above the commands for the Sabbath. While God's law has meaning and authority, they were not meant to be applied with mindless literalism. Even if his disciples were breaking the Pharisees' concept of the Sabbath rule, as intended by God, would not have condemned what they did. But Jesus went even further when he said, "One greater than the temple is here." He is, of course, referring to himself as the Messiah. He would fulfill the law. Jesus took priority over the work of the temple, which itself took precedence over keeping of the Sabbath. That meant that he was, as he claimed, Lord of the Sabbath. But the Pharisees are so concerned for their religious rituals that they missed the whole point of the temple, to bring people to God. They failed to see that if Jesus is even greater than the temple, how much more can he bring people to God? God is far more important and far bigger than the created instruments of worship and the traditions and rules in which worship is confined and organized. The second way that Jesus breaks the Sabbath laws is by healing in the temple. Through the Gospels, Jesus quite often heals on the Sabbath. And none of these healings are because of any great emergencies. So, for example, the one we have this morning, if Jesus had waited one more day to heal the man with the shriveled hand, that man wouldn't have died from his injuries. But Jesus would have given in to the Pharisees' authority, giving power to their notion that their petty rules were equal to God's mercy. But God is a God of people, not a God of rules. The best time to reach out and help someone is when they need help. The Pharisees had placed their laws above human needs. They were so concerned about their rules being broken, they didn't care about the man with the shriveled hand. But here's the irony. Jesus brings life and healing. The Pharisees plot on their precious Sabbath to murder an innocent man. Jesus only requires that which is good, to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God, not just on the Sabbath, but every day. In both these cases, Jesus is not disregarding God's laws. Instead, he's emphasizing compassion and mercy when enforcing those laws. As he says, mercy, not sacrifice. So what's really spoken to me when studying this passage was that we should not put so much store in how we worship God. If we become more concerned by how we worship rather than the one we worship, we miss God, even when we think we're worshipping him. Of course, our traditions have their place. They're there to remind us that what we do together is worthwhile. We step aside from our typical day-to-day routines and disengage for a while. We dress up, we sing, we use rich language, but that's the point of our worship. If our worship doesn't help us connect with God, then we might as well not bother. So the question I ask you to ponder is this. Do we put on our best clothes for an hour once a week and stand and sit in the correct times and sing, when we're allowed to, all the appropriate songs for God's sake? Or because we actually quite enjoy doing those things? But God doesn't want our meaningless traditions and rituals. God wants our hearts. He wants our hearts to beat in time with His. The point of coming to church is that we connect with God and with each other, and to be connected to what is good and true. We come together to be encouraged to go on as living as disciples of Christ. We come to remind ourselves what God's priorities are. If we get that right, it won't matter what our traditions are. It won't matter whether we sing modern songs or medieval hymns. It won't matter if our rector wears splendid robes or just a clerical collar. It won't matter if we put on our finest suits or our slouchiest jeans. All kinds of worship are acceptable to God, as long as we don't get too wrapped up in our traditions and keep our hearts in time with His. Amen.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship.